Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Sunday evening Facebook Live. Hallelujah. So, tonight's a special night. I'm going to open in prayer. Father God, I thank you for every person that will see this or hear it later. Father, and I pray that they that you open all of our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to perceive and understand. And I pray that you make these points clear that you are trying to impress us with. And I believe it'll help us. I believe it'll help us to understand ourselves better and understand you better and how to serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I kept getting a scripture all week, or a piece of a scripture. And the scripture says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I started to look into the idea of perfecting holiness. I love the subject of holiness, and I actually believe it's one of the most misunderstood subjects in the body of Christ. And the reason I think that is, I had heard a lot of what I believe now were incorrect teachings, and I found it to be very discouraging because of the ways that I had learned. I actually had a lot of discouragement, had a lot of great expectations of myself to be so perfect, and of course wasn't, and so continually falling short and then feeling guilty and condemned. And I have close friends who are real saints of God that love God with all their heart, and yet they are still battling thoughts of condemnation, guilt, worrying about, oh, did I do this wrong? Did I mess up? And, you know, we all stumble in many ways, but we are perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But if we don't understand what holiness really is in the eyes of God, we will apply man's filters to holiness. And the man's filters and religious filters and the old fake holiness filters were based on your all about your deeds and your works, good works, bad works, and you were being judged on works alone. But Christ came to free us from that because we were hopeless. We were hopeless. No matter, you know, we were hopeless. We needed a Savior. And the law, it says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's just to help us know we need help. We can't be good Christians without Jesus. We can't be made holy without Jesus. It's Him alone. It's His holiness, His righteousness alone that will get us into heaven and that will help us have God's stamp of approval. So when we find out what true holiness is, it is very liberating, very freeing. You can walk in joy because you can understand God's flow of true holiness. And, you know, it took a while for me to get free. I had to get a little deliverance from wrong thinking, and then He had to retrain me to help me understand this. And I know I've talked about this before, but God gave me some new things today that I think will help our perspective a little bit. So in the old days, when I would do a sermon with a lot of scriptures, I would call it Bible Slam. Like, you know, you used to go to Denny's and get the Grand Slam breakfast. Well, this is Bible Slam because it's scripture after scripture after scripture. So, but it's going to open our eyes. I think it'll help us see holiness from God's perspective. Holiness is actually a delightful thing. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about Hebrews. It says, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when He, Jesus, comes into this world, He says to the Father, He's saying this, you have not desired sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. He's talking about that He came into His body, that little baby body that grew in Mary, was prepared for the King of the universe, the Son of God, to enter into for the purpose of being the one sacrifice that would give us holiness that we couldn't earn. Okay, then it says, after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and offering for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, He then said, behold, I have come to do your will. He took away the first, listen, in order to establish the second. He took away the sacrifices of bulls and goats and blood on the altar to establish the second, or His way of perfect once for all time sacrifice. He was perfect. The bulls and goats were not, but he is perfect. Now listen to this. It says, by this will we, you and me, if you're born again, this applies to you, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Isn't that awesome? It says, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. You know, when you work and you do a job, you work at it, and when you're done, you sit down because it is finished. It's done. It's paid for. It's complete. And so one thing you need to know if you're born again is that your holiness, your stamp of God's approval, has been finished, complete. Imagine in the old days when the king would pour the hot wax upon a scroll, and then he would take his stamp. You know, King Hezekiah had a seal, and you know the archaeologists found it. And they found it not too far away from Isaiah's seal. Isn't that interesting? Or a seal that said Isaiah, right? So think about, in those days, the king would pour the hot wax and put his seal, sealing it. Do you know that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit? It is finished. It's done, right? It's finished. There's nothing you can do to add to it or take away from it. Isn't that amazing? So, it says, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. For listen to this, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Or another translation says, those who are being made holy. Now this is fascinating. He has perfected you, if you're born again, while you are being sanctified, while you are being set apart. Because in this earth, we're in a, what did I say at the beginning? Perfecting holiness and fear of God, right? It's a process where we are growing more and more to be like Jesus if we're a true disciple. But while that's going on, he has perfected us forever. That's what it says. And by the way, that's how he sees you. Now, it says the Holy Spirit testifies to us also, for after saying, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. Now, I want to stop there for a second. This is the covenant. When the Bible says that God makes a covenant, on his end, it is an unbreakable oath. It can never be broken in this earth or in the world to come. It can never be broken in heaven. It can never be broken on earth. When he makes a covenant, when he swears an oath, it is unbreakable on his end. So he has made this covenant with us. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart and I will write them on their mind. And what he's saying is, he gave us the Holy Spirit and the covenant. This is new life. This is life. It's life from dead works and feeling crummy about ourselves. And we know we're in process. We're all in process. But while we're in process, we know that our dad, our father, is looking at us saying, attaboy, attagirl, that's my kid, look at that. Because he sees us as having been made perfect. And you know why? He didn't just forgive you and me of our sins. He recreated us on the inside. So now, it says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will no longer remember. Won't even remember them. Can't remember them. You and I sometimes remember our mess up, don't we? And sometimes we apologize to God, and then we go back the next time, we feel so bad, we apologize again, and maybe some people forever apologizing. But you know, there comes a place where God is saying, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. I have forgiven that. Now let's move on and let me help you to learn how to be free of that. So you don't do it again. So it doesn't try to crush you, right? He doesn't want Satan to have any inroads on you. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you. He's proud of you, by the way. So now let's drop down a little bit. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place. You know that people who see holiness as outward works, don't have confidence to enter the holy place because they think, I can't enter the holy place because my works aren't very good yet. Well, it's impossible to receive holiness outside the holy place. It's impossible to receive deliverance. It's impossible to be made perfect. It's impossible to walk without sin without going to God, because it's only God that can do it. And so it's through fellowship by faith. And you say, well, I don't know how to go into the Holy of Holies in the Spirit. Don't get too spiritual about it. Receive it by faith. We are able to appear before our Father, before His throne, and know that He loves us. Know that He accepts us. I'm going to have you say this. I don't care if there's someone else in the room. I want you to say, I am accepted in the Beloved. My Father loves me. No matter what kind of day I'm having, I am born of God. I am a child of the King. My Father loves me. And if I do have a fault, He's going to forgive me, and He's going to help me walk right. Amen. Okay, so let me just find where I was. So we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, right? Because we were washed in His blood. By a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil. Remember, the veil was torn, forever torn. That was a symbol. He was saying, there's no more closed door between you and me. There is no more closed door, and there never can be again. I tore it eternally. The doorway is open to anyone who wants to come in and fellowship with me by a new and living way, by the blood of Jesus. Okay. Was inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, through His flesh. Jesus allowed His flesh to be torn open in order to make a way for us to go through that open door into heaven. He allowed His flesh to be torn. Now, you can take this or leave it, but if you think about His flesh, He was, at that time, the house of God in the earth. He was the living God in the earth and the only house of God. We are now houses of God too, the Bible says. But at that time, He was the one and only. So where was heaven? It was in Him, right? Kingdom of heaven is within you. Heaven was in Him. He allowed His flesh to be torn so that access to heaven could be gained. I'm telling you, there's a lot more here than we know. Now, it says, through His flesh, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let's approach God. Now, another translation says, let's draw near. Draw near to God. You know, this is fascinating because the Bible says Moses drew near, but the people drew back. Moses drew near, but the people drew back. And this is telling us to draw near. Because when you draw near, what happened to Moses? He lived in the glory for 40 days. Isn't that amazing? On top of the mountain with God. In the very same kind of atmosphere that there was in Eden before the fall. You understand? He was living with God alone under the glory, the canopy of God's presence. And when he came down, he was so filled with the light of God that his face shone. So draw near to God. This has been given to us as a gift. This is an amazing gift. Okay, so let's approach God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Well, now, what does that mean? There's a lot of people, and I used to be one of them, that this was hard to believe, that Jesus could really love me, or that He could look past my faults, or that, you know, I just had such a spirit of condemnation. It was hard for me to believe. But the Lord is saying, in order for us to approach God, we really need to come with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. In other words, we put what His Word says. This is what faith is for me. It's putting what His Word says above my thoughts, my ideas, my emotions, what I see with my eyes, what it feels like. Oh, but I blew it really bad. Really? But what does the Word say? It says that you're holy and righteous in your spirit. We'll get to that. So what am I going to believe? My emotions? Or am I going to believe the Word of God? Faith is believing the Word of God, no matter what your emotions say. And some of you need to tell your emotions to shut up and not give them any say-so, because your emotions will lie to you. And I used to be the queen of that. Okay, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering. without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So I just want to say this, make a note here. You are not approved because you do well. You are approved because he did well. And you are approved because he made you holy in your born-again spirit. He did it because of his righteousness. So I remember when he was teaching me this, God would use me to heal somebody often when I was having not my best day. You know, maybe I didn't do everything right. Maybe I said something wrong or had a bad thought or whatever. And then he would on purpose use me to heal somebody of something really big. And I would think, how can you use me? And he said, I never heal through you based on your righteousness, because you don't have any. I always heal through you based on my righteousness, which lives in you, which I gave to you. Not based on your deeds, right? And if I did, I'd never heal anybody, right? If we only got to be used when we were good enough, none of us would ever be used for anything, you know? But we're all able to be used to the fullest extent without limit or measure, because it's his righteousness that does the works, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's fasting. Do you ever try to fast and fail? You know who can help you fast? He can. All the grace comes from him, and if you think it's your ability, you will fail. And that's actually a lesson from God. Sometimes he'll let you see your failure so he can say, by the way, it's really me. It took me so long to get this. I almost had to fail utterly in every area to come to understand the greatness of the grace of God and his ability to do anything and everything he wanted through me. If I would just get out of the way and walk in that full assurance of faith, believe the word and not my stinky flesh. Okay, hallelujah. So again, you're not approved because you do well. You're approved because he did well. It's his righteousness, which he has given to you. So 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I want to talk about this for a minute, because your flesh isn't righteous, isn't your mind, your carnal mind isn't always righteous. We don't always have perfect thoughts, right? But your spirit, if you're born again, that born-again spirit is holy in the same way that Jesus is holy, perfect in the same way Jesus is perfect. I personally believe that your born-again spirit is the new wineskin. I don't know if anyone else believes that. I've never looked up to see what the theologians believe, but to me, your born-again spirit is the new wineskin, and that's how he fills, because remember, he said he can't pour the new wine into old wineskins. In other words, he can't give the baptism of the Spirit to somebody that hasn't been born again. There's got to be that new wineskin for the new wine to flow properly, right? You have to, because unless a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. We can't commune with the throne of God by the Holy Spirit without being born again. The door isn't even open yet. We're clueless, witless, walking in darkness, absolutely have no perception of heaven at all unless we're born again. Amen? So, now I want to talk about this this holiness in your born-again spirit. And I was asking God, I've tried to teach this many times, and I find that sometimes people have a hard time understanding, and so I'm asking the Lord for a better way to say it. And so I was looking for a word picture. And I don't know if this is a good one, but this is what I came up with. Imagine that you have a closet in your house, and most people probably have a closet like this, and it's got stuff in it, and maybe it's got, you know, I don't know, vacuum cleaner, vacuum bags, maybe some coats, maybe some decorations in the top part, just stuff you want to store. It's just a closet. Maybe neat, maybe got some dust from the vacuum, but a closet. Now, let's say that the King of Kings comes to visit, and he gives you this treasure chest that's made of pure gold. It's absolutely pure gold, but it's a treasure chest, so we know it holds treasure. And he gives it to you, and he says, I want you to store this in your closet. And so you make a space, and you put this amazing treasure chest. Now you're holding it for him, right? And you put this amazing treasure chest on the shelf in your closet. Now, here's what happens. You close the door, and you go away. That is a picture of your born-again spirit in your physical body. Your born-again spirit, it's pure gold. It's holy. It's perfect. It looks a lot like Jesus. It's made in his very image. Now let's go back to that one scripture. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. It wasn't your soulish area or your emotional area. That's what all that stuff has to be worked on. That's where we need transformation, right? Our mind, our thoughts, our emotions, our stuff, our habits, you. That still needs work. There's still a vacuum in the closet, right? Is the vacuum holy just because the treasure chest got put in there? No. Are the coats holy? Not so much. We still need to clean the closet sometimes, right? We still need to say, the vacuum, get out of there. There's dust. That's not holy, but the treasure chest is pure gold. Now, if we were to take it a step further, imagine that the treasure chest, this is just a stretch, I know, and I'm not trying to say anything that's out of line, but try to imagine, just for the sake of understanding, that if you open this treasure chest, first of all, to get to it, you got to open the closet and you got to learn how to get to that treasure chest. Some people don't hear from God because they haven't known how to work through the closet, past the vacuum, past the coats, to get to the treasure chest, because that's how we commune with God. God is communing with your spirit man, which is where? It's the treasure in the earthen vessel. Earthen vessel means made of dirt. Remember our bodies? Remember, Adam was formed out of the dirt. You know, nothing fancy. Dirt, right? Vacuum, dust, coats. If we want to commune with God, though, we have to work our way through to get to this born-again spirit, this treasure vessel. And if we were able to open it and peer inside, what we would find is direct communion with the Father by way of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that you're able. Imagine you have this treasure in your closet, that you're able to get to it, that you're able to open it and peer into it and stare into the glory of God. Now, that is sort of a very kind of poor analogy of what really happens when you commune with God in the Spirit. Now, let's say that somebody has kind of a messy closet, right? And maybe they haven't cleaned it in a while and they've got some extra stuff in there. And if they were to look at that closet, they would say, oh, this is unholy. Maybe God's mad at me. God doesn't see your closet. He sees the treasure chest. He sees the treasure chest. He sees, more accurately, he sees what's on the inside of that treasure chest, right? And so if you're never communing in the Spirit, if you never go into the closet, a lot of people, they have the treasure chest. They were born again. They even got filled or baptized with the Spirit. They even have some of the gifts, but they never go to the closet. They never open the door. They never deal with God in that realm. And so they're floundering and they're struggling with, oh, my vacuum is so bad. Oh, my coats are so dirty. Oh, I'm such a slug. Well, of course, because all that stuff is flesh, right? Speaking in terms of your closet, right? Because it's a picture of a treasure in earthen vessel. So here's something I want to say. Your spirit, if you're born again, your spirit is perfect. And it was intended to be the most holy place, like the equivalent of the most holy place in the New Testament. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the most holy place, they built a temple, right? Spent years building a temple. And what they were trying to do was build a house for God. They wanted a house for God's presence. And God said, I'm not going to live in a temple made with human hands, right? I don't have to have a human temple, but he allowed him to do it, and he did let his glory fill that temple. In other words, his presence was there until it left. It did depart. Ezekiel saw it depart. But what he was doing was creating a picture so people could understand a house of God, a house of the presence. The most holy place is the house of the presence. Do you understand that is your born-again spirit? You are, in the New Testament, there is no temple. Oh, wait, yes, there is. It's you and you. I got 15 people on here. There's 15 temples of the glory watching this broadcast. And, oh, wait, here's me, right? We are houses of, really, we are the most holy place. Now, I know that sounds like a stretch, but it is scriptural. That God wanted a real house. He wanted it in us. And I believe it was an original intent with Adam. And I believe it's exactly what he did with Jesus. And when Jesus died, he didn't just die to forgive us. He died to recreate himself in us. But this was the only way he could do it, because our flesh was so marred that he thought, well, this was the plan of God. Christ in you. That's the plan. That was the mystery of the kingdom of God, was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now think about this. Why does it say hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, most people will never walk in the glory that he hoped for. Now, he's not mad, but he wishes that we would walk in it. He did all this that we would walk in his presence, not just house it and hide it like the hidden thing in the closet that nobody ever sees, right? We have to begin to elevate the Holy Spirit in us. We have to begin to elevate the kingdom of God in us. We have to begin to focus not on the coats and the vacuum and the junk, but on the treasure within. Because when you start to do that and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, he's your mentor, he'll help you. And he can get you to a place where you can commune with God through that born-again spirit, and it becomes normal for you. You are the house of God. And so Christ in you is the hope of glory. God really hopes that we will begin to understand and move. You know, it says the whole earth groans waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, right? Well, manifestation is when the treasure chest is what's visible and not all the junk in the closet, right? Paul said, I bring my body under. Well, what if it meant we could sort of turn inside out and people began to see God instead of our stinky flesh? Just a thought. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? Isn't that amazing that your body is actually the house of the Most High? Hallelujah. So God is desiring for us to come to understand better who he is in us. And true holiness, this is so interesting to me. When God was teaching me about holiness, holiness can't be gotten outside of relationship with him. When we are born again, he infills us with a new spirit, which is actually his own child. That you, in your born again spirit, that's the real you, right? All your issues, that's not you. That's the real you is your born again spirit. We all have issues in our flesh. Hopefully we're all working through them. Think about, again, the original scripture, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me go back to a scripture here. How do we perfect holiness in the fear of God? Well, by the Spirit. It says Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. By the Spirit. It's by the Spirit that we can know it. Without the Spirit, we really don't do so well. Okay, it says Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So let's say I want to clean out the closet or some of the issues in my mind or some of the issues in my soulish realm, right? My emotional issues. You know, and I spent many years doing that. And so how do I do that? I don't even have the ability to do that myself, do I? But I go to the Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me break this habit. I need deliverance from this. Show me how to do it. Show me what to do. Show me what confession to make or what proclamation to make, or show me how to change this about myself. He's the one that helps me clean the closet. And he does still want us to clean it because he doesn't want Satan to have inroads. Amen? Okay. So Ephesians 4... let's start about verse 21. Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self. In other words, get some of the junk out of the closet. It's okay. Which belonged to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So, old stuff, it's corrupt. It can be deceitful. And we're going to put that off. That's our old self, the old man. Put it off. But it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self. What's that? Your born-again spirit, which is created after the image of his holiness. Another translation says, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So, now the interesting thing about this is when you connect with God, let's say that you're in prayer and you're seeking the Lord to help you, let's say from a habit or an issue, or maybe you have a temper. Maybe you're one of those people, you have a temper and it's getting the better of you sometimes. What you would do is go to God and say, listen, I don't seem to be able to curb this temper. I try, and sometimes the honest truth is our flesh, the more we try, the worse it gets, honestly, because our focus has gone on it. But we can go to the Holy Spirit and say, I need you to deliver me. And what is this? Is this a stronghold? Do I need deliverance? Is there a lie I believed? Am I angry because, you know, someone wounded me? What's the deal? And ask him for help with it. Ask him to set you free. Now, what happens? Whether you know it or not, you've approached him, you've drawn near to God in the holy place, right? You've come before the throne by a new and living way, by the blood of Jesus, through faith in the Word, right? Because you believe he can do it. You've approached him through the Holy Spirit, who has the power to do it. Now, what happens? There's a connection in the holy place. Now, you may not be aware of being there. It doesn't have to be a profound spiritual goosebump, but you are still going to the Holy of Holies, right? By a new and living way, by the blood of Jesus, by the Word of God, and by the Holy Spirit. Fact. So whether you feel a goosebump or not, when you approach God that way, you have approached him in the holy place. Now what happens? You've connected with God, and every time you have that connection to God, there is an outworking in you. There is a change that happens in you from the inside. And the more that you do this, the more that you connect with him, the more that you go to him, the more that you sit at the feet of the Word of God, the more that you sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit, the more that you spend time in God, enter that quiet place, still, learn how to still your soul, learn how to still yourself and be in his presence. It is a discipline. It's like any other discipline. You have to work at it, labor down to the rest, but you can do it. And then what happens is every time you do that, there's a connection. You might imagine this like recharging your phone, right? Most people have to recharge their phone at least once a day, right? It starts to go down. If you're using it, you got to charge it. Well, what happens is when you go into that place, right? Remember, open the closet. You get to the treasure chest. You open it, which would be like you're going into the place of prayer, right? Now what's happening? There's a connection or a charge that's happening. His spirit is interacting with your spirit. Something begins to happen in you, and holiness begins to flow. What did he say? Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The more you connect with him, you know, most people don't have rivers. Most people rarely have a single little drop once in a while. Right? I'm just being brutally honest. But if we continue to press in, the drops will grow into a flow, it'll grow into more, and it'll eventually get to be rivers of living water. And that's what we want. Because what happens is that connection from the holy place to your spirit man, your born again spirit, by the Holy Spirit, he's the connection link. When that happens, it's like charging your phone. And there is an actual bubbling up of God's grace, his ability, his holiness. True holiness is an outworking of your relationship. So I'm just going to say it. If your relationship stinks, your behavior is going to stink. And I know from watching my own life, if I don't have that connection, if I don't charge my phone, if I don't charge myself up in the presence, you know, I don't do well. Joyce Meyer said one time, I have to have my time with God. And my family knows you do not want to keep me from my time with God. You do not want to live with me if I haven't had my time with God. And I can so relate to that. I need to have that connection to him, because otherwise we get a little crusty, don't we? We're not as nice, right? We need that connection. We need to stay connected. Jesus said that he is the vine, we're the branches, just another same example. He abides in me, right? It is the life-giving power to change and be changed, to love people. That can only come from God. You can't love people out of your own will. Otherwise, it'll just be a forced human love, and it's usually kind of fake. But when Jesus loves through you, that's another matter. That's God's flow. That's rivers of living water. Whether it's love, whether it's healing power, whether it's true repentance, there's nothing more lovely in my eyes than true repentance. when a spirit of repentance comes on you, and you can really see how your heart may need to change, or you may need to repent of something. It's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing. It's a gift from God. It's actually a gift from God, because what happens is you get rid of something and it makes room for more of Him. You know, it just makes room for a greater flow. So I'm hoping that this in some way has helped make a little bit more clarity about what your born-again spirit is, how important it is that you commune with God, that you commune with His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is your best friend, whether you know it or not. It really pays to get to know Him as your best and closest friend. He is your dearest friend. He's your comforter. He will teach you how to get healed of your wounding. He will teach you how to release emotions that have been stuffed in there too long. He will teach you how to relate to people that you have a hard time relating to. He has it all. He has it all. He has it all. And He has it all for you. There's nothing He will keep from you. He loves, loves, loves teaching His kids. So I love you. God loves you. And hope this blessed you. And we'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.